We'll now have two Bible readings. The first one is going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. The second one is going to be from Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Now I go over to the Davey household.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 50 to 58. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment. In the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, for he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless.
Second reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades."
A little five-year-old boy named Brian once had an important part to play in his church's Easter program. His role was to stand up and at just the right time in the Easter play and with a loud voice say, "He is not here, he is risen." Well, the trouble was that when it came time for Brian to stand up and say his line, Brian wasn't able to remember what he was supposed to say. But as is often the case in a Sunday school play, one of the Sunday school teachers coached Brian and his confidence returned. He proudly grabbed the microphone and with a loud and very triumphant voice shouted, "He is not here. He is in prison." Well, thankfully this morning, we aren't celebrating the incarceration of our Saviour, but instead the good news that he is risen. We all like to hear good news, don't we? But this good news is far better than any other. We might think it's good news when a parcel we've ordered a long time ago finally arrives. We might think it's good news when the grocery stores have everything we want again, including toilet paper. We might think it's good news when we're able to return back to life as normal, whatever that is. But the good news we're celebrating this morning overshadows all of those things. This good news answers our greatest need and our biggest fear, because this good news provides all those who trust in Jesus with hope that is greater than death itself. Because Jesus has risen from the grave and he's defeated the power of sin for all who trust in him. Well, in this morning's passage, we're looking at Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. John is writing about a vision that he's been given by Jesus while he, unlike Jesus, was in prison. John writes in Revelation 1, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned around, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among them was someone like the Son of Man." The first thing John sees is seven golden lampstands. Now, these lampstands symbolize the seven churches. It symbolizes God's people. And notice that the one like the Son of Man is among his people. I think that's a really helpful image for us to keep in mind as we are physically separated at the moment. Jesus is still among his people, even though we might be physically spread out. This language of the one like the Son of Man is a reference to back to Daniel chapter 7, where it speaks of one so powerful, so pure and majestic that it's hard to believe that he is appearing in appearance of a man, that he is a man. John writes that he was dressed in a long robe with a golden sash, what you'd expect to see someone of royalty and authority wear. His feet glowed like molten metal, and his voice sounded like the sound of rushing waters. You can just imagine the sound of water echoing off caves as it's all around you. In his right hand, he held seven stars, which symbolizes his power and authority over all the rulers and authorities of this age. And his face shone with radiant light. When John saw this image, when he realized that he was in the presence of Christ in all of his glory, he fell to his feet, fell at Jesus' feet as though dead. The awe and the majesty of the one who stood before him made John instantly realize that he wasn't worthy to be able to stand in his presence. As John stood face to face with the purity and power of Christ, he would have been reminded of all of the different ways that he hadn't measured up to the glory of God. Just like the prophet Isaiah had done when he saw God face to face. Isaiah cried out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." As John stood before the Lord, as John stood before Jesus, our Saviour, his heart would have also been crying out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." It's very clear from John's reaction that he knew that he was unable to stand in Christ's presence in his own strength. He knew that his works were unable to stand up to the purity and righteousness of Christ. But in the mercy of Christ, because of his love for his people and his completed work on the cross, Jesus was able to say, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." What Jesus is saying to John is that he no longer needs to be afraid to stand in Christ's presence, because Jesus has smashed the power of sin and death. He now holds the keys to death and Hades. He has defeated the power of sin and death to oppress and separate us from God. And he has set aside for himself a people who live not by sight, but by faith in God's one and only Son. He is the first and the last, the one who created all things. John 1 says that in the beginning, nothing was created apart from him. And he is also the one who has risen from the dead, who has defeated the power of sin and death for all those who trust in him. No grave could hold him down, not even the gates of death and Hades could hold him down. He was dead, and now he lives forever and ever. There's been a lot of talk about death in recent weeks. One of the very, very few positives of the current pandemic is that people are thinking about death. They are realizing that they are mortal, that this world is not all there is. Death is something that is frightening, but it is a reality that every single one of us will have to face at some stage. And when that time comes, we will all find ourselves in the presence of Christ. But at that time, where we have placed our trust will decide whether we are meeting Christ as our Saviour or as our Judge. A few days ago, we celebrated the Good Friday, and we reflected on how God had provided the perfect sacrifice. We reflected on the costly nature of God offering up his one and only Son for us. That God offered up the only descendant of Adam who could ever atone for our sins, because he was the only descendant of Adam who ever lived a perfectly sinless life. God's one and only Son laid down his life for us, so that we who were once his enemies might now have confidence to be able to stand in his presence. There is a lot going on in the world at the moment. There is a lot that we could be worried about. You might have fears about your own health or the health of friends and family, concerns about what could happen with this pandemic. You might have concerns of more of a financial nature, of how this could affect your financial situation. There are all sorts of uncertainties around us at the moment. But despite all the uncertainty there is in the world around us, there is certainty to be found in Jesus. Colossians 1 says that Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. He was the first to rise from the grave, the first to defeat the power of sin and death. And when he rose, he made a way for all those in him to rise with him. Because all those who trust in him will be raised with him in the last days. We know this because Romans 6 says that if we have been united with him like this in his death, if we have our confidence and hope in him, if we have died to our old way of living and now live for him, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We can have confidence that this good news applies to us, that we will be raised with him. He is risen, and those in him will rise on the day that he returns. This morning we are celebrating the good news that Jesus is risen, that he has defeated the power of sin and death, and now holds the keys to death and Hades. All of us really enjoy it when our favourite sporting team is winning. It's great when our favourite sporting team is on a roll, when week after week they win every game. It's a great feeling to cheer on your team when you know that they have the victory in the bag. No one likes to be the supporter of the losing team. There's no joy in expecting yet another loss. There's nothing to celebrate. It only leads to sorrow and disappointment. But this morning, we have been reminded that Christ has the victory, that he has defeated the power of sin and death. And those who have placed their confidence in him are following the winning side, because he holds the keys to death and Hades. He has the victory. He is risen from the grave. Our greatest enemy, death, the one we are absolutely powerless in our own strength to do anything about, has been defeated through Christ. And because Christ achieved this great victory on our behalf, we too can share in this good news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And the hope of his resurrection extends to all those who trust in his sacrifice in our place. There is a great deal of uncertainty in this life, particularly at the present time, but not just now. But hope in Christ is hope that is placed on solid ground in a world that is otherwise filled with sinking sand. Pandemics may come and go, economies may crash, wars come and go as well. But no matter what hardships we face in this life, Jesus has the victory. He's defeated the power of sin and death. He gives life and hope and joy in an otherwise uncertain world to all those who find their confidence in him. If you're with us this morning and you haven't yet placed your confidence in Christ, today is the time to do so. Don't leave it another day, for Christ will return like a thief in the night when we least expect it. And if you're someone who does have confidence in Christ, then today is the day to celebrate. To celebrate the good news that we know Christ and that we are known by Christ. Today is the day to celebrate the good news that he is risen. Paul says in Corinthians, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that though our own works make us totally unable to stand in your presence, that we only bring dirty rags into your presence, Lord. We thank you that you sent Jesus. We thank you that you lived the life that we could never live, that you died the death that we all deserve to die, and that you were raised to life, that you defeated the power of sin and death, that you now hold the keys to death and Hades, so that all those who trust in you have hope and life beyond the decay and brokenness of this world. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.